for the preaching tonight, we're going to read Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 in the New King James Version. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which to easily ensnare us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Good evening. It is a pleasure to be back in front of you this evening, and I want to commend each and every one of you for being here this evening. We all live very busy lives, and we could be anywhere tonight, but we've chosen to return back this evening and spend a portion of our day with God and invested in His Word. So this is the last weekend before we have regular season football. I know this past weekend we had our jamborees, our high schools, we have the preseason going on in the NFL, and we have college football coming up as well. And I, for one, am counting down the days. I am a sports fanatic, and I spend a large portion of my free time invested in sports. So this evening, we are going to look at God's game plan. Very briefly, we're going to draw correlations between the sports that we enjoy and God's Word. Our scripture reading this evening was from the Apostle Paul, and he likened the Christian life to running a race. He said, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So, we know that athletes, we know that sports players, they must train. They must practice their trade, and they must be invested in the sport that they're playing if they want to win the game. And if we, as an athlete, we don't practice, we don't review what we have planned beforehand, there's a high likelihood that come game day, that we're not going to be very well prepared. And that's the same way in our Christian lives. We have to train each and every day to be a better Christian. We have to study our game plan to be better Christians. So games, in a game, any sports game that you watch, there are rules, there is a competition, there are judges or officials, and there is an ultimate prize. And the ultimate prize is what we spent a large portion of our time just now singing about, and that would be heaven. So if you want to turn over with me to 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 through 8, we're going to read about that prize that we're striving to attain. It says, "That I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." So we have an ultimate goal that we're striving to obtain. We have to practice, we have to study, and we have to be prepared when that judgment day or game day comes. We have to be ready. And if you're not ready, it's likely that the competition or the event will not go in our favor. All teams have several aspects. We're going to spend a few moments looking at each part of a team. So first, we have a coach. And in our Christian walk of life, our coach would be God. So a coach, he wants the best for his entire team. The coach strives for their team to be successful as they possibly can and he continuously works for his teammates or his students to be successful. In Joshua 1 and verse 9, we read, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So we have a coach that wants us to succeed. No good coach, I should say, is striving for his players to fail. Every coach wants the best for his players. And in 2 Corinthians, if you want to turn over there with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, we're going to read that. And it says, "And not only by his coming, but by also by the comfort with which he was comforted by you. And he told us of your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced still more. For even I have made you grieved with my letter, but I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that this letter grieved you, though only for a while. As it is, I rejoice, not because you were grieved, but because you were grieved into repenting. For you felt a godly grief, so that you suffer no loss through us. For godly grief produces in repentance and leads to salvation through regret, whereas worldly grief produces death." So in this passage, to me, this was Paul speaking. And when I read this, I thought about grief. When we go through grief, we go through hardship. And as a coach from time to time is going to put his players through hardship. We have long, hot practices. We are disciplined for not doing something right. This week, I'm a huge Memphis football fan, and they had a scrimmage in Jackson yesterday, and I went to that scrimmage, and I noticed something that a coach did when it was on defense. They were going out onto the field, and one of the players, he just kind of jogged onto the field, and he hollered out that player's name, and he told him, "Come back here," and he made him go back to the sideline and turn around and sprint back out to go full force. He's teaching that player discipline. He's wanting that player to go hard every time that he steps on the field, and that is what God is striving to do with us. He's going to put us through hardship, but it's going to make us better, stronger Christians in the end. And so teams also have a rule book or a playbook. And in our Christian walk, our playbook is the Bible. If you want to turn over to 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17, we're going to read that. It says, "All scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work." This playbook, unlike the playbooks in our sports, is never played out. So if we're talking about football, this team that you play this week might have a certain scheme that they run. So you have to adjust your playbook to that team. So if there's a team that's a run-heavy team, obviously you're not going to play your players off of the line. You want them to play close to the line to stop that run. But next week you might have a team that runs the spread. They like to pass a lot. And you have to adjust your playbook to defend that attack on offense. But the Bible, however, our playbook in our Christian life is never played out. We never have to change it for anything. It is good, and it is sufficient for everything that we face in this life. So also, teams have a player. And the player would be us, God's children. As we read this morning, we read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding." So your players must trust in their coach. They must trust that their coach is adequately prepared for the opponent. And it's not up to the player to go out there and decide, hey, we're going to run this play, we're going to do this scheme this week. That's up to the coach. And the players have to trust in their coach to know that they're going to set them up for success. And that's the same way in our Christian walk. We have to rely upon God and know that His will for us is perfect, and He's going to lead us down the right path. And in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 27, I'm going to turn over there. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Life is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life?" This is yet another verse that expresses how we as Christians, God's children, have to rely upon God to get us to where we need to go. When life gets hard, the road gets rocky, it's easy to worry about how we're going to make it, how we're going to do this, how we're going to do that. But we just read here in Matthew that by worrying, we can't add a single hour into our life. That's something that I try to think about a lot of times when Satan gets after me and makes me start worrying about whatever it may be. It may be schoolwork or office work or family issues, whatever. By worrying about those issues, there's nothing that we can do about it. I often tell my wife, we cannot control what happens to us, but we can control how we respond to those actions. So another aspect that all teams have an opponent. And our opponent in our Christian walk would be Satan. In John, 1 John 3 and verse 8, we read, "Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil." So sin is the work of the devil. The sin, or the devil, I should say, strives to pull us down. Unlike our coach, the opponent continuously wants to see us fail. They want to be the winner. Satan wants to win your soul over God. And in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, it's another verse that sums up this thought. And it says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around roaring like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour." So the devil is waiting on you to slip. When you have an opponent, if this week we're getting ready for practice, we didn't practice at all, we didn't look over the playbook at all, your opponent is going to be like, if they know that, they're going to be like, all right, I mean, we got this in the bag. You know, the opponent, our team here, we didn't even practice for the game. So more than likely, the opponent is going to come in and walk all over us. And that's what Satan does. He's striving and he's waiting for us to slip up. And he's going to come in like a roaring lion and devour us, the Bible tells us. So each team also has a strategy. And our strategy in our Christian walk would be to follow Christ. In John 8 and verse 12, it says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" So God's plan, God's strategy, the Bible tells us, leads to everlasting life. So it would be a great thing with a football season approaching. Our basketball season's not that long ago. Whatever team you think of or you follow, that is, it would be wonderful to know that every game that you guys play this year, you're going to win. We've got the perfect game plan for each opponent. We've practiced. We have the best players. And every game, we're going to win. So you need to tune in, because we're going to march to the championship and we're going to win. And in our Christian lives, if we simply do what the Bible tells us and we study, we know that. We know that we have a home in heaven if we simply follow God's strategy. And finally, as we sang in many of our songs tonight, the ultimate goal is heaven. So Matthew 7, verses 13 through 14, it says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." So much like our championship games and our seasons, not every team is going to win. It's just the facts. Not every team that ventures out to obtain that championship is going to obtain it. And that is the same way with our Christian life. We may try and try and try to spread the gospel like we are instructed to do, but there are certain people that are going to let the devil win, and they have no true interest in obtaining that championship for whatever way. But it's up for us. It is up to us to strive to obtain it for ourselves. We can only answer for ourselves to obtain that championship. And our final verse for the evening would be John 14, verses 1 through 3. And it says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I have gone to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you be also." So our coach wants all of us to succeed. Although all of us in the world will not obtain that championship, we have a God, we have a coach that wants every single one of us to be in heaven with him. So it is on us to go out there and to hopefully spread the word of God and bring others to heaven with us, because we have a God that's prepared a place for us and he's ready for us. So how do we obtain that ultimate goal as we conclude this evening? So first, we are to hear the gospel. We are to believe in Christ. We are to repent of our sins. We are to confess that Jesus is Lord before the world. And then we are to be baptized. I was reading before we came this evening in Acts 2 when Peter was at Pentecost. And he was talking to the crowds and he was explaining to them that, you know, this guy that God has sent down as his son to walk upon the earth to be a sacrifice for us, he walked amongst us and he never sinned and he was perfect in all ways, and we killed him. You guys crucified him on the cross, and they were pricked in their hearts. They felt terrible once they had heard and learned what they had done, and they said to Peter, they said, "What are we to do now?" And Peter responded in Acts 2:38 and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So we are told very blatantly that to obtain that ultimate goal, we are not only to repent, but we are also to be baptized in Christ in a watery baptism. And then, once we are baptized, the journey is not over. We cannot simply hang up the cleats, per se, for the rest of our time. We have to go out there and we need to strive to bring others into that glory. And we need to remain faithful in our daily walk of life. So this evening, if you have never obtained that great championship per se, if you have never obtained that salvation, the offer is on the table now. The offer is on the table at any time for any of us to accept. But we are not assured of tomorrow. We could end the as we talked about this morning. Jesus will come like a thief in the night. We never know. So if you need to get right with God this evening, the offer is on the table, and we are prepared to rejoice when you do make that decision. So if you want to, you can come forward now as we stand, as we sing.